ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सारस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् श्रृण्वतं स्वागता कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः रुदन्तस्तो हि अभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी तदा राजस्तमो भावः कामो लोभदयाश्चये चेत एतैरनाविद्धम् स्थितं सत्त्वे प्रसीदति एवं प्रसन्नमनसो भगवद्भक्तियोगतः भगवत्तत्त्वविज्ञानं मुक्तसङ्गस्य जायते विद्यते हृदयग्रन्थेश्चिद्यन्ते सर्वसंशयः क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि धृता एवात्मनीश्वरे दस् द नॉट इन द हार्ट इज फियर्स मिसगिविंग्स आर कट टू पीसेस द फ्रूटिव एक्शंस इज टर्मिनेटेड व्हेन वन सीज द सेल्फ एज मास्टर So, today's topic for discussion, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter 7, The Activities of King Bharata, Verse Number 7.
I think,
Chapter 7, Verse 7. I'll read word by word only, because
it's difficult to maintain the meter.
So we'll just evam karma visuddhaya visuddha sattva shanta hrudaya kasa sarire brahmani bhagavati vasudeve महापुरुषा रूपोपलक्षणे श्रीवश्च कौस्तुभा वनमालिरि धरा गदाद्भिर् उपलक्षिते निजपुरुषा क्रिल् लिखितने आत्मनि पुरुषा रूपेण विरोचमानं उच्चैस्तरां भक्तेर् अनुदिनम् एदमानं राजा जायता word to word meaning by Srila Prabhupada. Evam does karma vishuddhya. By offering everything for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not desiring any reserves of his pious activities. Vishuddha Sattvasya of Bharata Maharaj, whose existence was completely purified. Bharata Maharaj, whose existence was completely purified. Anta Hudaya Akasha Sharire, the super soul within the heart, as meditated on by yogis. Brahmani, into impersonal Brahman, which is worshipped by impersonalist Jnanis. Bhagavati, onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeve, the son of Vasudeva. Lord Krishna, Mahapurusha, of the Supreme Person. Rupa, of the form. Upalakshane, having the symptoms. Sri Vatsa, the mark on the chest of the Lord. Kaustubha, the Kaustubha gem used by the Lord. Vanamala, flower garland. Aridhara, by the disc and conch shell. Gada Adibi, by the club and other symbols. Upalakshite, being recognized. Nijapurusha Hrit Likhitayena, which is situated in the heart of his own devotees, like an engraved picture. Atmani, in his own mind. Purusha Rupena, by his personal form. Virochamane, shining. Uchestaram, on a very high level. Bhaktihi, devotional service. Anudinam, day after day. Edamana, increasing. Raya, possessing force. Ajayata, appeared. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this way, being purified by ritualistic sacrifices, the heart of Maharaj Bharat was completely uncontaminated. His devotional service unto Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, increased day after day. Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the original personality of Godhead, manifest as the super soul, Paramatma, as well as the impersonal Brahman. Yogis meditate upon the localized Paramatma situated in the heart. Jnanis worship the impersonal Brahman as the supreme absolute truth, and devotees worship Vasudeva, the supreme personality of Godhead, whose transcendental body is described in the Shastras. His body is decorated with the Sri Vatsa, the Kaustubha jewel, and a flower garland, and his hands hold a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. Devotees like Narada always think of him within their hearts. Purport. Lord Vasudeva or Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is manifest within the hearts of yogis in his Paramatma feature, and he is worshipped as impersonal Brahman by Jnanis. The Paramatma feature is described in the Shastras as having four hands holding disc, conch shell, lotus flower and club, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.8. Kechit Swadehantar Hrudaya Vaksase Vakase Pradesha Matram Purusham Vasantam Chaturbhujam Kanjaratanga Shankha Gadhadharam Dharanaya Smaranti. Paramatma is situated in the hearts of all living beings. He has four hands which hold four symbolic weapons. All devotees who think of the Paramatma within the heart worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the temple deity. They also understand the impersonal feats of the Lord and his bodily rays, the Brahman effulgence. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande paramananda madhavam pangam langayate shailam mukam avartaye sukhim yat kripatam aham vande krishna chaitanya ishwaram. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man recite Vedic literature. Sri Chaitanya Padamboja Madhupe Bhyo Namo Namaha Katanchit Ashrayad Esham Swapitat Ghanda Bhag Bhavet. Let me repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances onto the bee-like devotees who always taste the honey of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If even a doggish non-devotee somehow takes shelter of such devotees, he enjoys the aroma of the lotus flower. E Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataro Bhascha Kupasindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vrastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. In this way, being purified by ritualistic sacrifices, the heart of Maharaj Bharat was completely uncontaminated. So, in this way, being purified by ritualistic sacrifices, the heart of Maharaj Bharat was completely contaminated, uncontaminated. So, what were the ritualistic performances he was doing? So, that is given in the previous verse. After performing the preliminaries of various sacrifices, Maharaj Bharat offered the results in the name of religion to the Supreme Person of Godhead, Vasudeva. In other words, he performed all the yajnas for the satisfaction of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. So, that's the previous verse. Therefore, here in this verse, it starts in this way, being purified by ritualistic sacrifices. The heart of Maharaj Bharat was completely uncontaminated. His devotion service unto Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, increased day after day. So because he was performing his devotion service unto Vasudeva, his devotion service is continued to increase day after day. Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the original personality of Godhead. So Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the original personality of Godhead. Normally when this statement is made, which is the verse we try to quote? Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the original personality of Godhead. That Lord Krishna is the... Ete chamsa kala kumsa, that is sa. Sorry? Normally we don't quote that. If we quote that verse to say that Krishna can be realized in three different aspects, in the Supreme, the Bhagavan, or in his impersonal, or the Paramatma. But Krishna, the Lord, was the original personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachitananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana Brahma Samhita, first one. And if you want to say that he is the original personality of Godhead from whom the rest of the plenary portions come, which is the verse we tend to quote? Once again from Brahma Samhita only we can take. Lord Krishna is the original person. Yeah, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishta Nana Avatara Makarod Bhuvanishu Kintu Krishna Swayam Bhagavan. So therefore we say that there are other plenary portions, Ramadi, Rama Adi, etc. They come, but they are... So there in the commentary it is said that there are many candles which are already lit, but among the candles there is one candle which is the original candle, and from using that original candle we can light the rest of the candles. So Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the original personality of Godhead, manifest as the super soul as well as the impersonal Brahman. Yogis meditate upon the localized Paramatma situated in the heart. Jnanis worship the impersonal Brahman as the supreme absolute truth. So yogis meditate upon the localized Paramatma situated in the heart, whereas the Jnanis worship the impersonal Brahman as the supreme absolute truth. And devotees worship Vasudeva, the supreme personality of Godhead, whose transcendental body is described in the Shastras. So we find that we can't say processes, but it's the same process on the yoga ladder. And so we find that Jnanis worship the Lord in one way, that is in his impersonal form. And then yogis worship the Paramatma feature, and the devotees worship the Bhagavan feature, supreme Brahman, whose transcendental body described in the Shastras. And here we can maybe quote that Ete Chamsa Kala Punsha, that the Lord can be realized in three different aspects, the impersonal, the personal, and the Bhagavan aspect. His body is decorated with the Sri Vatsa, the Kaustubha jewel, and a flower garland, and his hands hold a conchal, disc, club, and lotus flower. So his body is decorated with the Sri Vatsa, the Kaustubha jewel, and a flower garland, and his hands hold a conchal, disc, club, and lotus flower. So we have a similar verse quoted by Bilomangal Thakur in his Krishna Karnamrita. In that he says, Kasturi Tilakam Lalatavakta Kasturi Tilakam Lalata. Kasturi Tilakam Lalata Palake Vakshastale Kaustubam Nasagre Navamoktikam Karatale Venum Kare Kankanam Sarvange Harichandanam Chakalayan Kante cha muktavali Gopasi parivestito Vijayate Gopala Chudamani Vijayate Gopala Chudamani. Especially devotees coming from South India would have heard this. And more especially, if you are from Andhra region, this is the verse which is often quoted in some of the movies. Although at that time, as a child, we heard this many times, but I did not realize that it was from Bilomangal Thakur. But when I made a cross search, it says that it is from Krishna Karnamrita. So the meaning as translated, Kasturi Tilakam. So like we apply the Tilakam, Kasturi Tilakam, that is with the Chandan, you are applying Tilakam. Lalata Palake Vakshastale Kaustubam. So like in the current verse we are discussing, Vakshastale, on the chest there is the Kaustubam. Nasagre Navamoktikam. So Nasagre Navamoktikam, here you have that beautiful jewel diamond maybe. Karatale Venum. Karatale is the hand, lotus hands he is having. Venum Kare Kankanam. So he is having beautiful Kankanam bangles. Maybe Prabhu must be having his kadi these days, he is not wearing after taking Brahmachari. Sarvange Harichandanam. So the entire body is smeared with Harichandanam. Kante cha muktavali. So he is wearing a beautiful necklace. Gopasri parivestito. So he is amongst the gopas, that is gopis. Vijayate Gopala Chudamani. So amongst them, he is the Chudamani, or he is the crest jewel, the single ornament amongst the cowherd boys and the gopis there. So we find something similar to that in this verse being said. So Lord Vasudeva or Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is manifest within the hearts of yogis in his Paramatma feature and is worshipped as impersonal Brahman by Gyanis. So now here we find a process being, we can take it as the yoga ladder. And this is a question we can try to understand based on the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What is the title of Bhagavad Gita chapter? Karma Sanyasa Yoga. So there, the question is, if you try to analyze the chapter heading, karma is the activity, sanyasa. Sanyasa can be split in terms of san and nyasa. San means completely and nyasa means put aside. So when can you put aside completely any of the activities pertaining to the body, the mind and the words, you can say. So that's the question. If you try to analyze, when can you stop working on your prescribed duty? Is there a time in your life when you can stop functioning on with your prescribed duties? Karma, sannyasa and yoga, connecting to the Supreme Lord. So there, Krishna gives the answer what is the answer Krishna gives? That you need to perform, even if you have realized that you are purified, still you need to perform your activity. He says you should continue to work your Nishkama Karma Yoga so that the results of the activity are given to the Supreme Lord, and in the process we become purified. But here the question is there a time when I can stop working? And the answer is not given by Krishna in this chapter, but rather he gives the answer in the sixth chapter. If you open 6.3, there Krishna says that for one who is a neophyte in the eightfold yoga system, work is said to be the means, and for one who is already elevated in yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. Hear carefully, for one who is a neophyte in the eightfold yoga system, work is said to be the means, and for one who is already elevated in yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. So someone who is in the beginning, he has to perform his Nishkama Karma Yoga. But someone who is advanced, then that person can give up Nishkama Karma Yoga. In the beginning as a neophyte, we need to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga in order to get purified. But having reached a stage in your life where the purification, enough purification has taken place, and performing your Nishkama Yoga further forms an obstacle in your spiritual journey, that's the time when you cease to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Am I making sense? That you perform your Nishkama Yoga in the beginning to purify your consciousness. Having purified, you continue to perform your Nishkama Karma Yoga, or you perform the Jnana Yoga, or you perform the Ashtanga Yoga. But when you find that further continuing your Nishkama Karma Yoga forms an obstacle on your spiritual journey, then you can withdraw, or then you can stop performing your Nishkama Karma Yoga. Because that is, that external activity is forming an obstacle for your further advancement. So what is that stage in our Shraddha to Prema where this happens? Because we say that Atau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangam, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, then Bhava and then Prema. So on this journey, where do we find that performing my prescribed duties further forms an obstacle and therefore I tend to give up? The glimpse happens somewhere on the platform of Nishta. Because the Anartha Nivritti, Anarthas are still there, so therefore Nivritti means I'm clearing my Anarthas. And typically, what are the Anarthas we encounter? It is Kama, Krodha, Madha, Moha, Lobha, Matsarya. So these are the Anarthas we carry. And these Anarthas, if you read, has anyone read Manasiksha by Raghunath Goswami? Yes, thank you. So there, Raghunath Goswami identifies these Anarthas as rogues, as the thieves. They are called the subtle obstacles on the journey. So that subtle obstacle, these rogues, what do? They try to strangle the passenger.
Well, what's on the highway?
Yeah, they are like the robbers on the highway. So one needs to overcome that. And when we overcome that anartha nivritti, then one reaches to nistha. And nistha is considered to be an escape velocity. See, if you are trying to place a rocket in the orbit, then it needs to fly at a particular speed which is more than the gravitational pull. Only then the rocket can be placed in the orbit. So therefore that is called the escape velocity. So if I have to escape from the material pranks, then I must be at least on the nistha platform. And therefore, just for our own understanding, we can compare that nistha as an escape velocity. And anarthas, how do we overcome? Because anarthas, typically, it is the enviousness or the jealousy. There is a subtle difference between jealousy and enviousness. Both are similar, but there is a subtle difference. Jealousy is considered to be a passive emotion. Jealousy is considered to be a passive emotion. Whereas enviousness is considered to be its active external expression. So I was hearing a small episode by Gopal Gaur Prabhu, I think from Bombay, Brahmachari. Gaur Gopal Prabhu. Normally you can see that he has got 2 minutes, 3 minutes clippings, and in one of those 2-3 minutes clippings, he tries to say this difference between the jealousy and enviousness. It comes from the fact that we always try to compare. I have one mobile, okay, what is the mobile I have, then what is your mobile? I try to compare, which is better? Oh, okay, mine is better than yours, or yours is better than mine. Or recently the children have received their ATAR score. You find out what is the ATAR score your child has received. And then what is the objective of asking that question is to internally you are processing and you are trying to be judgmental that whether that person is better than my child or the person is okay, he has scored a lower ATAR score. Instead of that, why don't you ask a question, has your child performed well and is able to get into a course of his choice in a university of his liking? That's where my interest should be, because that's out of affection we are asking, and therefore we know that, well, the child has received whatever is at our score, I'm not comparing, we are not interested. But we are interested to know whether the child is receiving or is able to enter into a course of his choice or her choice. So that way we can give her blessings. But the moment I ask what is your ATAR score, then I am being judgmental. Okay, to kitna aya, mere bache se zyada aya, ya kam aya. So something like that, it's your processing. And therefore in that context, the Prabhu says that when two couples meet, I don't know whether you have heard this joke from him, when two couples meet, the wives look at each other for what? Comparing their saris. Mera sari acha hai, unka sari acha hai. If my sari is better than hers, okay, I'm whatever feeling that emotion gives the person. And what are the husbands doing? Comparing the wives. So one, the man looks at other wife, other man looks at his wife. Because that we live in a world of comparison. So this is the expression of jealousy, or you can say enviousness. And so long we are harboring this, we can never cross that platform and reach nistha, which is the escape velocity. And one of the simplest ways of overcoming these anathas, apart from we read every day morning and the way you chant so that you are able to chant attentively, the practical way I have seen is to rewrite our program in the mind, because this comparison, insecurity, these emotions are there in the mind, and these are the emotions I have stored in the mind since anadi. You can't trace back since how long they have been accumulated in the mind, and I'm seeing the external world through the mind, so therefore I need to purify my mind. And in order to purify my mind, I need to rewrite instructions on the mind, so that whatever instructions are already there in the mind, those instructions are erased and new instructions are written on that. So that it becomes easy for me over a period of time to erase these negative emotions or the become these subtle obstacles in my journey. So this is coming to how I deal with people as well, whether with devotees or with others. So let's see how we start from morning till evening to erase or rewrite on the mind new instructions, so that the default program is set to positive emotions, or default program is set to transcendental vibrations. If you have read Radhana Swami Maharaj's book, Journey Back Home, the first instruction Maharaj says in his book is that the moment you get up in the morning, what should you do first? What is that we do in the morning, the moment you get up?
We send it to scripture master.
Sorry?
Oh, we send it to scripture master.
Jai, Hari Bol. Anything else? Anyone else does anything else? Yeah.
Obeisances to deities.
Jai, very nice. Thank you. So the mind is compared to a blotting paper. Those of you who have used the fountain pen, there you can see that we were using a blotting paper. You're trying to fill the pen with the ink using the ink filler, or sometimes the ink filler is not there. You try to pour directly into the pen and then the ink falls down. And in those days, at least when I was a child, what was the option I had? I would take a blotting paper and place it on the ink. It immediately absorbs. So the acharyas compare the mind with a blotting paper. So what is that we need to do? We should soak our mind with the instructions, such instructions which rewrites the program. So the first step I need to do is express my gratitude. The moment I get up, I express my gratitude to the Supreme Lord that I've got another day in my life to serve the Supreme Lord. Express gratitude. Whatever I have now, that is purifying me, that is giving me the required happiness. And actually I don't even deserve that much, but I'm given by the Lord and therefore I'm grateful to you. So this takes us back to the second chapter where Arjuna asked the question, Sita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha. So there Arjuna is asking, what are the symptoms of someone who is Sita, whose mind is not in turbulence? So there, Prabhupada in his commentary, he says that the devotee expresses, if he is experiencing pain, he thanks the Lord that whatever pain he is experiencing is actually much less than what he deserves. And any happiness he is experiencing is more than he deserves. So that's an expression of gratitude. And from that expression of gratitude comes humility, because whatever Even I don't deserve in terms of happiness, Lord has been kind enough to give me. And whatever pain, much more I deserve, Lord has softened it. So that's the gratitude I express. So the first step. Second, we need to give the instruction, because remember, we are giving instructions to our mind. So therefore, we are second instruction, say that I am Satchitananda. I am a pure soul.
Satchitananda.
I am Satchitananda. Because otherwise, mind makes us think that I and me.
Body.
It always takes me back to the bodily concept. But now we are telling the mind, now what are these instructions? If you read Manas, actually I feel everyone should read Manasiksha by Raghunath Goswami. It's an instruction by the intelligence to the mind. Normally it is the mind which gives the instruction to the intelligence. But here it is the intelligence which is giving the instruction to the mind. And what is the second instruction the intelligence giving to the mind? That look, I am a spirit soul. I am Satchitananda. Second, so therefore what is it trying to say? That Ananda is not dependent on any external objects. The Ananda is there within me. So therefore I need to uncover that rather than search out for Ananda outside. Then three, we do the Bhutasuddhi prayers. And in that Bhutasuddhi prayers, if you have read the Bhutasuddhi prayers, that I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna, but by misfortune, due to being inimical towards him, from time immemorial, I have been identifying with this body. I take that every one of you would have read this part. Can I take that? Because this is called a Bhutasuddhi prayer, and this is a standard prayer when everyone reads. You can read, maybe I'm not going to read because it's a lengthy paragraph. Because in this way, thinking, the pujari will recite the following mantra again. What is that mantra? That Naham Vipro Nachat Narapati. So first this English translation, then he read that last time I'll read Gopi Bhatta Pada Kamala Yor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, these are the instructions I'm giving to my mind, and thus telling the mind that look, I am of that nature. I'm a spirit soul. I'm not just a spirit soul, but I'm also the servant of the Supreme Lord. And then the final, in that Bhutasuddhi prayer, Divyam Sri Hari Mandiradhya. Does anyone do these prayers? Because these are the prayers normally we should recite so that I'm elevated from the material conception of life to the spiritual conception. And then Raghunatha Goswami makes a statement that every 30 minutes, he specifically makes a statement, every 30 minutes you should bring up the image of, there he talks about Radha Giridhari, or you can bring the image of Radha Vallabha. It's like in the childhood we used to have 35mm movie theaters and 70mm movie theaters. I don't know whether today these days they have the concept. But as a child we used to have the 35mm, 70mm movie. So it means that I should bring up the image of Radha Vallabha in my mind and completely fill up my mind with that image. Rather, I soak my mind with the image of Radha Vallabha every 30 minutes and retain that image as long as is possible for me. Maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever is the time period, I can retain the image of Radha Vallabha or Radha Giridhari. We have Radha Giridhari on the altar. Has anyone seen Radha Giridhari on the altar? On the left, You have Lord Kurma, Matsa, Matsa, Dwaraka. Then the immediately right you have Radha Giridhari. Then you have Radha Krishna, Chota Radha Krishna. So between Chota Radha Krishna and the left extreme, Kurma, Matsa, Matsa and Dwaraka, you have Radha Giridhari. And this is a special instruction given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Raghunatha Goswami. He gives the Govardhan Shila. And you can see in the prayer, in the instruction of Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Instruction, he says, worship Govardhan Giriraj. And if you are hearing now Govardhan retreat, is anyone hearing the Govardhan retreat? So if you are hearing Govardhan retreat, Sachinandan Maharaj emphasizes in worshipping Giriraj. So you must bring the image of Radha Giridhari or Radha Vallabha every 30 minutes throughout the day for a couple of seconds, so that it erases whatever previous instructions we have in our mind and purifies it. And this helps in the way in which I deal with people. Maybe I'll give, because I'm this bit deviating, but I'll give this example and then go back to the discussion there. Whenever I'm dealing with someone, let's say that we can talk in terms of energies or vibrations. Somebody abuses me. What is my immediate reaction?
Return back.
So therefore, as a child, I come from Hyderabad, and it is more than half of Hyderabad is from Urdu speaking community. And so we say, "Int ka jawab, int se dena." That is, with the for answer to the brick is another brick. So someone throws one stone, you throw 10 stones. Then that guy throws 15 stones, you throw another 20 stones. Pattar ka jawab pattar, ya normally we I don't know why in Hyderabad they use the in ki jawab in se dena. What is the result of that? That you are carrying a baggage of negative emotions in your mind, and that sucks our energy. That depletes us. And with that depletion, neither I am benefited nor the other person is getting benefited. So this is called, you can say, active reaction. We should not take that, because by taking that, we are only constantly, you observe that somebody has scolded you, you have scolded him, that whole day is spoiled for you, because throughout the day you are thinking of that particular incident for nothing. You try to do any activity, but the same incident comes back to your mind, and you are wasting your time and energy. Because every thought is a packet of energy. And every thought emanating from our mind is releasing a packet of energy, which means that it is depleting our energy. We become weak mentally, we become exhausted. So by the evening, somebody says, "You have not done any work, but you feel exhausted." So that is not an appropriate reaction. One should not react in that way, active reaction. The second way of responding is a passive response. Somebody throws a stone, you catch it and keep it with you. Somebody throws a stone, catch it, keep it. Somebody slaps, you show the second cheek. This happened to my cousin. My cousin slapped one of my other friends, and the friend's mother came back and said, "Look the way your daughter has done. She slapped my daughter's cheek. Let her slap the other cheek." And my cousin said, "Dharak," she gave another slap, other cheek. Because she was a child, she did not know what to do. She gave another slap. Yeah, the answer is, the second passive response is that of Mahatma Gandhi. That somebody slaps you, you take it. But it worked for Mahatma Gandhi, it will not work for me and you. And that is also not a proper response in the practical world. Because someone has thrown a stone, am brooding internally. The other person may be with, other person is not helping him, because next time also he'll throw another stone, and equally it's not benefiting me. Why? Because I am brooding internally. I am mentally thinking, why this guy has done it this way, it's not helping me. That is also depleting my energy. So the third response is, when somebody abuses, somebody throws a stone, my response should be spiritual. That person is behaving in that particular way because of his own psychophysical nature, because of his own samskar, baggage he is carrying from the previous life or previous activities. So therefore I vibrate spiritual energy. Just chant Hare Krishna, so that you tell, by chanting that Hare Krishna, let this person, you give the spiritual energy. We say that please pray for that person. So here you are praying for that person by chanting Hare Krishna. So by that, we get the strength from Radha Vallabha, and then we are passing on that energy, that strength to the other person. Thus, the other person is getting spiritually benefited. I am also getting spiritually benefited because I am chanting Hare Krishna. Unless I get the spiritual energy, I am not able to give it. So therefore, I get the spiritual energy and give it to the other person. And over a period of time, you will find that the other person starts behaving normally with you or spiritually with you, and you equally are not depleting your energy. And classical example, I think this was said by Bhakta Prabhu in one of his classes, I think a couple of days back. He said he was going on Harinam. Has anyone heard that class? Yeah. He was going on Harinam, and whenever he was going on Harinam, on that particular day, one particular person would come and spit on him. Spit on his face. You can imagine, Bhakta Prabhu is so tall, and that the person comes and spits on him. And yet, what was his response? He could have punched him back, or he could have spit him back, but instead, he was just chanting Hare Krishna. So therefore, he was blessing the other person, he was vibrating the spiritual energy, and over a period of time, that person gets benefited. And equally, you do not deplete your energy, your spiritual energy, because you are on the transcendental platform. So the more we chant properly, and the way we bring up, like Raghunatha Goswami has said, bring up the image of Radha Vallabha or Radha Giridhari, the more we are moving towards identifying ourselves as a spirit soul. And the more I am able to identify as a spirit soul, soul has 8 qualities. If you read Balde Vidya Bhushan's Bhagavad Gita, so there Gita Bhushan, in couple of verses, he gives the qualities of a soul. I'll not go into that part, but the qualities of soul are given. So you can look at the 8 qualities of the soul that are given. So therefore you find one of the quality, either the person becomes angerless. He does not feel angry towards other person. So the more I feel anger towards anyone, any situation, it means that I'm more on the bodily platform. And the more I feel I'm developing that spiritual qualities, it means that I am moving towards identifying myself as a spirit soul rather than on a bodily platform. Now, so coming back to the verse, here we find that the process for the Jnani, the process for Paramatma and the Bhagavan is given. So for the devotees, the process is known to us, how we do that, we do the chanting. But equally, the question asked is that, okay, when is the time when one can completely put aside the regular material activities? So we'll try to take a simple step-by-step process that an aspiring practitioner, all of us are aspiring practitioners. As aspiring practitioners, my platform is that I and mine, I'm connected to the material body. I may be chanting, but still, by and large, I identify myself on the bodily platform. So when I'm identifying myself on the bodily platform, from an aspiring practitioner, I should go to the advanced practitioner. So the process indicated by Lord Krishna, he says that you perform the Nishkama Karma Yoga. So when you perform the Nishkama Karma Yoga, whatever material activity I'm performing, I give the results to the activity. So by performing that Nishkama Karma Yoga, I move from aspiring practitioner to the advanced practitioner. That's the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita is trying to tell us, and that's the process undertaken by the Gyanis or the by the Ashtanga Yogis in the first six chapters. So when the person has moved to the point of advanced practitioner, purified of eye and mind, then should he still continue to practice that Nishkama Karma Yoga? Or switch to Jnana Yoga. That's the process of a Jnani. But Krishna in fifth chapter says that no, continue to practice Karma Nishkama Karma Yoga because of ease of practice. Continue to do that and also to set as an example for others. But then a point will come where to stop, when should I not do my activity because it may come in the way of my further advancement. So if we take the devotee's way of practice, I express myself both in the material world as an employee, taking care of my family requirements. At the same time, I am practicing my devotional service. So in the beginning, both run in parallel. I am practicing my grihastha life, so therefore I am working outside and earning some money and taking care of the family requirements. But at the same time, performing my devotional activities. So that's something similar to what we find Bharat Maharaj, he was performing his kingly duties. But while performing kingly duties, that did not stop him from getting purified. So a point when it comes, he simply gives up the kingdom and goes to the forest to perform his further devotional activity. So here also, the person continues to perform his devotional activity while taking care of his family requirements. And then a point comes where you feel that further working outside in the external world is only bringing him that greed and other negative emotions into his life, and therefore he tries to reduce his external expression of working outside. And he wants to dive more and more deeper into the internal world of hearing and chanting. And even in a devotee's life, a point will come where he finds that doing the external activities of devotional activity, like working in the kitchen or any such activities, also he may feel that he wants to reduce that and he wants to spend more and more of his time only in hearing and chanting, because the glimpse of his personality or the glimpse of his relationship with the Supreme Lord becomes visible to him at the stage of you can say asakti, that is Nishta, Ruchi and Asakti. At that platform you find you are able to see who you are and your relationship with the Supreme Lord. And therefore you tend to spend more of your time and hearing and chanting specific to that relationship. Because you are no longer bothered by the material pranks, but you are moving towards the ultimate goal of prema. And as you are moving there, the chanting, hearing, you can see that, has anyone seen the logo of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur? Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's logo. Not just printing, but the complete logo. Because yesterday we celebrated Maharaj's disappearance day. There is a beautiful logo of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and whenever his magazines, his newsletters would go out, like every corporate entity has got a logo, so similarly Maharaj has got a logo. And that logo you find at the top is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the center is the Harinam, and at the bottom is your Guru and Gauranga or Gaudiyas, that is devotees. So center Harinam, at the top Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and at the bottom devotees, Guru and devotees, and the left side indicates the Pancharatrika and the right side indicates the Bhagavat Vidhi. So the left side you have Lakshmi Narayan, because Pancharatrika means that you are worshipping the deity worship, so therefore you have the Radha, Lakshmi Narayan in picture, and then at the bottom you have the incense and then Arati indicating that the purification, and the right side you have Radha and Krishna. Yeah, that's the one. The Radha and Krishna, and at the bottom you have the printing press and the mridangam. So therefore the purification happens quicker when we are able to participate. As you move with the from the Pancharatrika Vidhi, it's not that you stop Pancharatrika, stop the deity worship, but you perform Harinam and book distribution. So that's a process indicated to us that we should all participate in Harinam and book distribution. This will help us in purification, and you can say that it's a, you are moving from sadhana vaidhi bhakti to sadhana raganuga bhakti. So coming back to our I think I'm taking you from different aspects. So there we find this is what the devotee does, that he is trying to spend more and more of his time in chanting and meditation, or hearing Krishna Katha, the topics related, because he is trying to withdraw himself. Yeah, he is trying to withdraw himself. Now, what is the process taken by the Gyanis? Because here the that said that the Gyanis, they do worship the impersonal Brahman as the supreme absolute truth. So the Gyanis, that process is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone remembers which is the verse? There's a process that the process undertaken by Gyanis is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone remember that particular verse? It is called Bhagavad Gita 9.15. If you look at 9.15, Jnana Yajnena Chap Anye Yajanto Maam Upasate Ekatvena Pratakvena Bahuta Vishvato Mukham. So others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. So these are the three ways in which a Jnani worships the Supreme Lord. Now please do not get confused with the Mayavadi. Here it is, Krishna will never speak about a Mayavadi. Krishna speaks about the Jnani, that is representing the Jnana Yoga process. So this is their Brahman realization. What etecham sakala pumsha Krishna so Bhagavan Swayam. So there the impersonal realization when Krishna is speaking. So the devotees who want to achieve that impersonal realization, so you find that the Jnanis, they follow this particular process. Ekatvena pratatvena bahudha vishvato mukham. So that ekatvena, in ekatvena process, the person identifies, sees the oneness between the Supreme Lord and himself. That is the ekatvena. And pratatvena is the process in which the Jnani, or the process involves seeing the Lord in the material nature, that is the sun is the eye of the Lord, and then similar as the angas, anything they see as part of the Supreme Lord. Or pratatvena, vishvato mukham, is that the universal form of the Lord. So between these three, that ekatvena is preferred by them as a process for advancement. And this is called the kramamukhi, that is gradually the person gets elevated, and this process is in detail explained in the second canto of Bhagavatam. That is, he moves from a lower planetary system to the higher planetary system, and then moves up and up and up, and finally enters into the impersonal Brahman of the Supreme Lord. Whereas a yogi, he meditates on the Paramatma feature. So summarizing the verse, we find that if we want to advance, or we want to advance in our day-to-day dealings, we should simplify. It should be simple dealings, that we should not harbor or retain the negative emotions or the negative vibrations in our dealings. And the best way to overcome that negativity or negative emotions is to always be spiritual. Any situation, if there is anyone misbehaving or anyone behaving any particular way, we should understand that the person behaving based on his own psychophysical nature or psychic nature, or you can say samskara or previous impressions he is carrying, and therefore you help that person by radiating spiritual energy. And how do we do that? Simply chant Hare Krishna, so that our heart does not carry any negative emotions. Any negative emotions, if I am carrying, it becomes a drag on me, on my spiritual path, on my spiritual journey. That helps me in chanting attentively. So that is one aspect. And the second part is that we need to, the Jnanis, they follow a process as indicated in Bhagavad Gita 9.15, ekatvena pratatvena vishvato mukham. Whereas yogis, they meditate on the Paramatma feature. And the Paramatma feature, the Lord, I believe he is about 8 inches in size. So from the ring finger to the thumb, whatever is the size, so that's the size indicated in the verse. And so therefore they focus, they meditate on that Paramatma feature. And we have seen that Bilomangal Thakur also describes how the Lord is with his features. And then the devotees, they chant and hear Krishna Katha, the direct process, in order to progress. But while performing their devotional activity, to keep themselves clean, they should clear the mind, and whatever junk we have created, we have added for the time immemorial, we need to rewrite that program. And in order to rewrite the program, some of the simple steps I find reading these various books is that we start with gratitude in the morning and then give the instruction that I am not the body and the spirit soul. Try to read the Buddha-Siddhi prayers. Every 30 minutes, bring up the image of Radha Vallabha into our mind so that it clears any dirt which has accumulated. And by doing this on a regular basis, we are able to override on all the baggage we have been carrying in our mind, and therefore our chanting becomes, or it's like you are entering into a freeway and then driving on your journey to reach the destiny. Yeah, with this I'll stop at this stage, and if you have any question, any comment, please let me know. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Sri Krishna, for the nice class. What you are talking about is this, envy. Envy means envy, no vacancy, especially nimatsa.
Yeah.
Unless there are nimatsa, we can never enter into
Krishna. Yeah, that we should clear. So, therefore, what it means that we should make our heart clean with simple steps, with simple dealings with anyone. Yeah. Cultivate the habit of radiating spiritual energy in every situation. In the beginning, it could be mechanical, but over a period of time, with the chanting and hearing Krishna Katha, associating the devotees, taking prasadam as the process is ours, we are moving on the journey, and these anchors which anchor a ship, though we are rowing, we are think that we are moving forward, but they are trying to retain the ship at the same place. Holds back. So therefore these steps will, because these are the practical steps, and these practical steps helps us in moving forward. And you can make or take the simple steps and see for yourself. Do for the next 1 month, 30 days, and see whether any change in oneself. Any other questions or any comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, this class, I think, very important point that you have mentioned is when one should consider withdrawing himself from material activities. That's, I think, for our community, it's a very important question, because the majority of them are working outside and things like that. So you have covered nicely that once anybody who is having this
will continue to work, because your ruchi for devotional activity should overweigh the material activity. In the beginning, we have fortunate enough to come in the association of devotees, so therefore we have taken up the process of devotional activity. But at the same time, we are continuing in the outside world. Outside world is full of negative emotions. So devotional activity is a positive transcendental energy. As you are performing these activities slowly and steadily, you find that you are getting purified. Otherwise, we will not continue to perform the devotional activity. But as the purification takes place, when the purification has reached a point where you feel that external activities in the material world is an issue, is a hindrance, you feel it's an obstacle, one level of obstacle, you want to stop that activity itself. Yeah, so that would, it starts its appearance somewhere in Nista, but consolidates in Asakti. Otherwise, we continue to do the work outside world till you feel that, okay, I can't work anymore. We'll ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when did you stop working?
June 2013, 7
hours. What was your age? Sorry if you don't mind.
I thought I'm working for the X-Men.
Yeah, so therefore, whereas we often hear that vanaprastha should start at the age of 50, but it is not happening because the purification is not there.
I will start at 100.
100.
Responsibility also.
Responsibility, yes, but it's more of purification than responsibility, because I don't trust the Lord that the Lord will take care of. I have not, in my consciousness, I have not reached that level. I know one devotee, I'll not give the name, but I'll give what she said, adverbium. There were five sisters, and her father was working. Later on he became a disciple of Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj. He took initiation from Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj. That devotee would work whatever work he was working daytime, and after coming home, no more family activity. He would just go to the temple, and till the temple is closed, he is continuously doing bhajan there. And nothing else. And that Mataji said, we don't know how things have happened, but all of us got married, we all have entered into wonderful families, we have our own children, but my father never took any responsibility of this sort. He was just okay to run the family, he would go out, earn money and come back, but after coming back home, he was not involved in any other activity except going to the temple and sitting in the temple and performing his devotional activity, nothing else. So he had so much of faith in the Lord that everything would be taken care. Then we have the example of Gaurav Govind Maharaj. He was actually, his daughter was for marriage, and then he took sannyas. His wife, she said, we have a marriageable daughter. And at the time when he's supposed to discharge his responsibility, he moved away from the family. But look at Krishna's arrangement. The richest person of that village or the town went to their house asking for their daughter's marriage.
Krishna said.
So if I have faith in the Lord and continue to do my service, Lord will take care. So it, and it should not be done artificially. It's not that someone has done it, I too will do it. No. I should, deep from within my heart, I should have realized that, have reached that platform, and then do that. Because imitation is, I think when you say imitation, it does not strike. But when you say in Hindi, nakli, then it gives a punch that it is not right to follow someone else. We need to follow the process, and gradually we get purified. But along the way, these simple steps, as we find Vaishnavas are suggesting to us, if we take, then our process becomes a lot quicker. Any other question?
So there's 9 stages of Bhakti. So if someone is left at Asakti and he left the body, so in his next life, will he start from again the Anathanabhuti and everywhere?
No, he'll start from there. We can see in the example of Bharat Maharaj itself that when he became deer also, he had the consciousness, and then the following life he became Jadavara. He already knew his level. So it's not that he had to move from a thousand to that platform. That's the promise given by Krishna in 6th chapter. Wherever you have left before, you continue your journey from that point again. Otherwise, we'll always be coming back to the starting point. We'll never move forward. We'll never move forward. Because every birth you have to start the ABCD, A for apple, then I'll be starting only, I'll be there only, I won't be moving forward. Krandarashan Bhavatam Ki
Jai.